Good afternoon. I'm thrilled to be talking to you about how to make brand boosting video content. So some of the takeaways that I hope you guys will learn is just sort of how to ground in objectives, how to scale for production and budget, how to be flexible in how you create the content from a content type perspective, and how to leverage different tactics, whether it's always on or campaign content or media integrations. So I'll jump right in. So I have experience on both the client side and the agency side. So when I was at General Mills, I managed brands like Cheerios and Nature Valley. And on the agency side now, I work at Jack Links, one of my clients, and then also Helzberg Diamonds. I'm a California native, and I would love for you guys to tweet some questions my way. So burning questions, I have my phone right here. Feel free. So a little bit about our agency. I work for Carmichael Lynch. It's a fully integrated advertising and public relations agency. We have a little more than 300 employees. And we are based in Minneapolis, which is where I am at. And we also have offices in New York. Some of the disciplines, so this is relevant as you'll see in terms of how we create all the different types of content that we've put out. We're basically leveraging multiple different functions to really create an interdependent agency. So we have creatives, which include graphic designers, art directors, copywriters. Then we also have studios, which include videographers, editors, photographers. We have a large content lab, which really enables us to do all of this content. And so anything from sort of straight on stills to overhead shots, things like that, we can all do in-house, which really adds a lot of efficiency for our client just to be able to fuel all of those content needs. And then we also have public relations. I'm part of the social team. And so for our department, we do things like research and insights, analytics, of course, community management. A lot of it is that content production and strategy, things like channel strategy. I'm sure for you guys, you're making those decisions. Should I be on Facebook? Should I be on Snapchat? Is Snapchat still cool? And so our team is really a specialty in all of those areas. Targeting and amplification. I won't talk a ton about that today, but I know you guys know this, especially with social media and the algorithm changing and things like that. Paid is a much bigger part of the conversation than it was say, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And UGC curation and optimization. We've had some folks present some really great thinking on UGC from BarkBox. I'm not going to focus as much on that here, although that's absolutely a tactic that we employ, especially to drive loyalty. So our agenda, we're going to focus a little bit on always on and how to keep it relevant and timely but efficient. Talk a little bit about campaigns. So for those moments where you're doing bigger initiatives, how do you capture content that also works for social? Experiential, this is a really fun opportunity to capture a ton of content if you're doing any sort of activations, event activations, how do you make sure you leverage social? And then media integration, so if you are doing any sort of paid partnership, how do you get a little bit more than just the placements? So may your only vice be a brand device, and by that I mean whenever you're creating a lot of content, you need to have something to play with so that you can create that content. If you're an influencer, obviously it's yourself. If you're a brand like Progressive, it's Flo. One of our biggest clients, Subaru, fun story there, they found out that they had a 200% index on people who had three or more dogs. So they realized that their loyal audience was really dog enthusiasts, and so leveraging that as a tactic to tell their story. And so this just enables that quick turn content. And so for us, it's Sasquatch. So we created Sasquatch about 10 years ago, and he actually was created for a big TV campaign at the time. Obviously, social was present, but not in the way it is now. So it was sort of fortuitous that it just enabled us to make a lot of content that you'll see here in a minute. This is just sort of a video to highlight where Jack Links has been and where it's going now. So just a little 2 minutes of fun for you.
Once upon a time, Jack Links, the manufacturer of meat snacks worldwide, was a leader in the jerky category, and it was awesome. But in recent years, the brand's growth had declined, despite an overall uptick in jerky consumption. Sadly, competitors began entering the protein snack category and stealing Jack Links' share of the market away from them, which was unkind and heartless. Jack Links now needed to bring lost buyers back to the brand, while also bringing new buyers into the meat snack category. But the biggest challenge of all was getting people to see Jack Links as the protein-packed snack it is, instead of the unhealthy junk food snack it isn't. The only solution was to find a metaphorical mountaintop and shout Jack Link's Jerky's protein benefits to the world in a uniquely ownable way. Utilizing Jack Link's high brand affinity and awareness, we brought Sasquatch, the brand's longtime spokesbeast, out of his woodland lair and politely asked him to be our primary influencer. He said, yes. We then partnered with world-class athletes like Clay Matthews, Odell Beckham Jr., and Carl Anthony Towns. Formed an alliance with Turner Sports.
I can get a free beef jerky now. I know Sasquatch personally.
And used top secret guerrilla marketing techniques to flaunt Sasquatch at showcase events like the NFL Draft and the X Games. We even got Sasquatch to attend the red carpet at the Money Fight, where he stole media coverage away from the two biggest self-promoters on the planet of Earth. Our earned media efforts netted nearly 2 billion impressions in just the first half of the year. That's almost 2 billion. Putting the reclusive Sasquatch front and center, and Jack Link's firmly back on top of the culture map. Success. But where are they now? The brand is up 8% in unit consumption, which is 2 times the rate of growth for the rest of the category. And Jack Link's and Sasquatch are currently living happily ever after.
So just a little clip about what we do. I realize that this could be, you know, very large scale depending on where you guys are and your needs. So we will talk a little bit about budget and how you'd be flexible. But just to give you an idea of where we've been. So he's great on television, but how do we translate that to social? So we do think about these super important things like objectives, process, content, and results, and I'll go through each of those. So when it comes to objectives, so this is sort of our approach on the social team. How do we ensure that our channel strategy, our content strategy, our paid strategy, all those things are laddering up to the business objectives? So we always start with the role of sales and marketing. What are we trying to achieve? And then we layer in the brand strategy. Who's that target audience? What insights do we know about them? What is the brand idea, personality, and tone? Obviously, you'll see more of this here, but Jack Link's, you know, the message is feed your wild side. So that really opens us up to a ton of different creative and wacky sort of content for obvious, obviously for other brands, you'd have a different approach. And then social strategy and content strategy, things like channel priorities, content pillars, things like that, all to enable those day-to-day decisions quickly. So our objectives, we were focused on affinity, establishing credibility and loyalty, and we were also focused on sales. So that was sort of in priority order what we really wanted to achieve with our presence on social. As such, our KPIs followed. So things for affinity, it was engagement, impressions, sentiment, things like that. For loyalty, it was fan acquisition, email list growth, and clicks. And then for sales, more clicks, and then return on advertising spend. And we also needed to layer in our content pillars. So those were, you know, our objectives from a sales perspective. These were the KPIs, but what does that mean for the content that we create? And so we were focused on Unleash the Beast, which was really our way of saying, how can we enable Sasquatch to be a fun forward part of the brand? Meet Your Meat, especially as the brand was actually rolling out product innovations and things like that. Now they have AM meat sausage and bacon snacks and things like that, so not just traditional jerky. Rally the Pact, talk about UGC. We have this really engaged audience who's constantly posting and tagging us, so how do we make sure that we're interacting with them and encouraging them? And then Sell the Snacks. So we did do some incentivized promotional things like that, and that would be captured in this content. So here it is in full. You guys will get this deck after too, but feel free to take photos. So a process that worked really well for us, because we were creating ongoing content all the time. So sometimes it was quarterly in advance, sometimes it was for a big campaign that would last for the full year, or sometimes it's just monthly content that we want to create for, you know, November. So our process, always start with the business and strategy inputs. What are the priorities for this month or this year? And then our team sort of distills all of that and creates a brief. How many of you guys work with briefs at all? It's okay, cool, so some of you. So the idea just being for our creative team who are like very focused on the color palette, the type, the art direction, da-da-da, how do we make sure we tell them this is what you need to focus on? So that's what we do with the brief. We kick off the creatives, they concept things, we share versions with the client, get things approved, and then we go into production. So that would be typically in our content studio doing that quick turn content, whether it's motion, animation, or just stills. putting it into a content calendar. So how does that all of that content come to life? Publication and amplification, which is around the paid targeting, and then reporting and insights. And through all of these steps, we have client approval, of course, because that's really important that we're lockstep with them along the way. Okay, jumping into content, we always want to plan for the planned and plan for the unplannable. So if you have $1 million budget or $500,000 budget, you don't want to blow it in the first quarter of the year. You want to hold some of that back to be able to amplify those things and jump on needs in real time. And then we do always have some sort of always-on budget, always-on approach where you're creating content just to sort of keep the organic conversation strong. So jumping into always on, so a lot of what we were doing with our always on was tap into key cultural moments. So for us as a brand, since it's a low price point, it's sort of an impulse purchase, things that you can buy all the time, you want to keep that top of mind really relevant. So what we were focused on is tapping into moments where it made sense. So this first one here, I don't know how closely you guys can see this, but we had some swag that we were trying to promote. Jack Links had actually launched a retail store, and they were making hilarious products like a forest-scented candle and a log-decorated pillow. And so we were tasked, that was the input from the client, so we were tasked with how do we make this really compelling and motivating? And we had this great idea to use the old-school infomercial approach. And the best part about this actually was that the music just like delivers, right? The best part about it was that we actually did create a hotline, because you know how they're very hotline oriented. When you would call it, you would get a secret code, phrase rather, and if you set it on our social media, we'd give you free jerky. So it was sort of a high step of engagement that we're asking consumers to do, but also a surprise and delight tactic at the same time. And it drove incredible results. People were really enthusiastic. And we did also drive traffic to the store. This one here, I'm sure you guys have seen Instagram stories, obviously growing space for social. This was around the holidays, and for Thanksgiving, the concept was, if Sasquatch was gonna sit down for a Thanksgiving dinner, what would he eat? Of course, beef sticks, so a little bit of product in there, but also mashed fun, like weird things, moss bread and stuff like that. So from a production perspective, both of these were very quick turn, and that it was sort of one setup for the video, and then it's just the Sasquatch hand model coming in and out with the product. And then for this Thanksgiving meal, it was just top down, you know, on a picnic table style countertop with the food that Sasquatch would eat present. We also did this for a lot of other moments. So some of these examples are very, very odd because that's Jack Links' style. So this was for National Smile Days, highlighting Sasquatch's teeth, obviously top quality teeth. For Movember, we did this, which was just, you know, a close-up of his face and then this muscle animation over it. So all of these are really quick-turn content types that you can do, honestly, using mainly graphics. So, you know, a graphic designer can go in and produce these things. Many of them did not require any sort of shooting. If you wanted to leverage stock photography or stock video, just like these bats, you could just purchase that, you know, for a couple $100 and then put your logo or your mascot in, which is our spokespiece. So just kind of click through these, but you get the idea. Any questions on this, the always on stuff? Okay, for campaign content, so part of our focus was that we had been working on the brand for a couple of years and we wanted to reinvigorate it. And some of what you saw in that video was that we had done working out with Sasquatch, which was when we were engaging the football athletes and doing things like salmon throws, you know, hilarious things like that. But what we realized is that people really wanted to see Sasquatch back in the forest, right? It worked and they enjoyed him at the gym, but how can we get him back to his roots? And the strategy at the same time was that we wanted to position Jack Links as a protein-packed jerky that wasn't just for survival, but was really for thriving. So it wasn't something you did out of necessity, but something you did out of intention. And so the idea was, in life, there are those who run with Sasquatch, eat jerky and thrive, and there are those who run from Sasquatch. So sort of the run with Sasquatch was really the message. So this is the spot I'll show quickly. This was a 60-second spot, and I can talk about the cutdowns.
Only two types of people have ever existed. Those who run with Sasquatch and those who run from Sasquatch. Those who feed on Jack Link's jerky, a protein snack made with 100% beef. And those who don't.
So this was the 60 that we did right around the time of the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl was hosted in Minneapolis this past fall or spring, whatever time of year that was. And Jack Link's is based in Minneapolis, as is our agency. And so we did a local buy for this to run during the Super Bowl. But the benefit with these spots, there were sort of three different stories in one. One was the BMX biker who eats jerky. The other is the mountain man. And the last is the woman who's a falconist person. So we wanted to leverage some of those for social, so I'll show you how we did that. So the first one on the left is just a great example of when you have different spot, when you have longer form video, how can you leverage different clips just to make them social sort of bite-sized snacks, and really adjust the copy and even add things like a text overlay to repurpose them to be something new. And so especially when you're doing really big production shoots, like a TV shoot where you're paying a lot of usage rights, this is a great way to get a little more efficiency and use out of that. This one in the middle, just kidding. This one in the middle, the idea here is that this is a panorama, so leveraging a new functionality on the social platforms. The idea being that when you tilt to pan on the left, you see the woman who runs with Sasquatch taking a bite of jerky, getting a fist pound from Sasquatch. And then the man on the left who's eating a protein shake, which we would say is like not as good as eating Jack Link's jerky, and so that's why he's getting the shake knocked out of his hand. Similarly, on the far right, I'm sure you guys have been seeing this on Instagram, but people love doing the Instagram polls. So how do we take advantage? How do we take advantage of that with this run with, run from? So the idea was we'd put up sort of a specific setting. In this instance, it's a surfer looking at a huge wave. And the question is, does the surfer eat Jack Link's jerky or eat a granola bar? Because again, we want to sort of point to those competitive trade-offs. And after, let's say, 8 hours of the story going live, depending on the results, we would show that version. So because for the surfer, people said he should eat jerky. When he's riding the wave, Sasquatch is right behind him. Similar type settings for the boxing situation. So in that way, both the pieces on the right were, again, relatively quick turn, because occasionally we were using stock photography, or we were shooting in our content lab, and it was honestly an employee who's, taking the bite of the jerky, things like that, so that you can really feed the feed in terms of generating all that content. Our experiential activations were really cool, too. So because he's our celebrity spokesbeast, that means he should be in all the places that celebrity athletes are. And so that opened us up to a lot of different options. So the first one was X Games. X Games was being hosted, and we wanted to do something to tap into that audience. It was an audience we wanted to grow with. And so you can't necessarily make, with the X Games, what we basically focused on was getting people who really care about the X Games to care about Jack Link's. So we did a station domination, which was we had static but also animated banners at different stops. And the huge benefit here was because Sasquatch was out in these spaces at the X Games, we had people on site on my social team who were there capturing video, boomerangs, photos, things like that, and posting on our channels. But we also had people interacting with Sasquatch and taking photos themselves and posting them on their channels. The other thing that we did, we created custom product for the X Games. So, of course, a lot of the skateboarders wear Vans. So we created a Vans shoe that had a Sasquatch image on top. We also created a skateboard that had sort of the Sasquatch graphic treatment on it. And what you'll kind of see in these examples is that we created a very distinct look and feel, almost variation of the brand for the specific X Games activation. So the branding was there, the brand equity was strong, but it was something different to be really targeted to that audience. So that just enabled us to generate a lot of really great results. That's a log skateboard in the middle that we created, obviously very hard to skate on. But you get the idea, just sort of generating buzz when there's a lot of people in a small area. So this is a little video highlighting what we did. Posts and tweets that we had going live around this time just generated a lot of buzz building up to the actual X Games and then releasing some of them during the X Games. So what was great about that too is that we weren't the official sponsor, but for everybody who went to the X Games, they felt like Jack Links was the official sponsor, and so it was just a really sort of guerrilla style way of hijacking basically all the conversation that was going on. We did a similar thing for the money fight. You've seen a little bit of this already, but for the recent big fight between McGregor and Mayweather, it was an instance where, since Sasquatch is sort of this alpha beast, you know, could he show up on the red carpet? We actually also had a PR integration, which was donating. But what we saw is that, again, people really enjoyed seeing Sasquatch there, and it got a lot of earned coverage from it. So it was sort of a socially led idea that we knew was going to have earned implications, and that made it just a really successful initiative. So the last sort of section I'll talk about is the media integration. So I don't know, how familiar are you guys with Funny or Die? Pretty familiar? So this was honestly my favorite video that we created this last year, and it was through a media integration. So part of it was, from the media perspective, we were going to take over their homepage, be in a lot of banners, so there was a lot of just details around the buy that made this really appealing. One of the things we said is, well, what if we collaborated together and created some custom video content? Since you're going to be playing all this video, you know, across all of your assets, how do we make it so that it's really authentic and more relevant? So we came up with a theme, Cooling Down with Sasquatch. Have any of you guys seen this video? Okay, you're going to die. It's really good. So we had Titus Burgess, comedian, actor, right, fantastic person. He basically was going to sing a song called Cooling Down with Sasquatch, and we teased it as if it was a song release. So, you know, teasing it in advance. We had our influencers, including Titus, tweeting about it and generating a lot of buzz before the event. And all of it was driving to specific website traffic for us, and we had all of the banners really embody this this message. So I'll play it for you.
Oh, hello. We didn't see you there, but we do see you've been working out real hard. So have I. So why don't you and I grab some protein packed Jack Link's jerky? I get to cooling down with Sasquatch. Your body is tightening, straining for some sweet relief. Your muscles need recovery. Protein from a piece of meat. Jacklinks has got your back. And biceps, triceps, glutes, and lats. After working out your booty, ooh, chill out with a Sasquatch foodie.
Cool down with Sasquatch
in a woodsy sauna.
Cool down with Sasquatch,
repairing micro trauma.
That's muscle tears, girl.
Cool down with Sasquatch,
he's really real. Sasquatch. Oh, he said time for some muscle revenge. He said, how much can your mouth bench?
I know what you're thinking. How can I prevent injuries? Ooh, just recover with me. Sasquatch,
damn, you are hairy.
Conveniently stowed in a snack pack. Teriyaki pepper and original. Just open it up a crack.
Protein make you strong, son. Sasquatch, let's go to vocal run.
So you can imagine when we were first working with the client on this, they were very confused because Sasquatch doesn't sing. He doesn't really speak very much, right? That's not part of his character. But we were really glad that we went through with this execution because it just created such a really engaging way to present the brand, honestly, in a different light. And so that was also really fun about it. We had a lot of different clips of this, too, that we were leveraging for usage on our channels, which was great, but this was the long form sort of song drop, if you will. And results. So we, of course, since we were very focused on creating video this last year, all these stats are all focused on that. So we had 207,000 minutes viewed on Twitter, which was a 774% increase from the previous year. We also had an increase in the average completion rate, which was an increase from the previous year. For Facebook, we had almost a minute viewed, which was a 300% increase. And then in terms of total impressions, about a billion impressions just from social, an increase from the previous year. And of course, on the social team, it's great to be able to point back to these KPIs working out successfully, but it was even better to see the results of sales. So what we saw is that we regained our number one stat as the best protein snack and convenience store, number three overall, 60% increase in brand awareness, and a sustained success Effie Award, which is of course important to us. So with some of the tips that I hope you take away, the first is really to start with those objectives. What are you trying to drive to? If it's awareness, top of funnel things versus conversion, which we've heard about earlier. Considering the budget and the scale, you would only want to make a big investment in a production perspective if you were going to be able to spend even more money in amplification. So making sure that if it is organic that you're posting, how do you make sure that the production is really efficient and quick turn? Determining a messaging hierarchy, we talked a little bit about that with those content pillars, but making sure that the pride, the paid considerations are there. And then just to play with those video making levers, right? Sometimes a still is going to be perfectly appropriate and you can do some really great things with the copy. Sometimes animation is going to work and we know that the platforms really value animation in motion. And sometimes full video. And if you do full video, how can you get those short clips for social? So that's it. I'd love to keep the conversation going and connect, but we have about 10 minutes for questions. So what do you guys want to know? Yes, it's a dance. And I know you guys feel as working in the space where when the platform makes changes, then you sort of have to pivot in real time too. We would never run like a 3-minute video like that as a paid ad on Facebook. If you shared a clip of it and people were really engaged and they clicked to that location for the longer form, I think that makes the most sense. But to your question specifically about length of time, we know that you want to grab people in the first 3 seconds. And so because you want to grab people in the first 3 seconds, it should be a pretty quick get. There should be some kind of hook to pull them in. And you also want to have branding in the first 3 seconds, because then even if they click away, at least they got a little bit of the messaging and the brand equity building. I would say if you can do the message in 15 seconds and there's a little bit of a hook in the beginning, that's a really good sweet spot. Also from, you know, attention span of people on social. I know a lot of people are talking about 6-second videos. I mean, then you're really more doing something just like an animated banner, you know, in terms of how you think about the content. Right. So I think, you know, 3 seconds is really fast, but you do want the branding there, and then 15 seconds is probably a good spot. But I wouldn't go past 30 or 260 unless you have a very compelling story, and I don't know, there's a human element, because that really changes the game. So that's kind of what I would say. So funny question. So because the majority of the time that people are buying jerky, honestly, it's in a gas station or a convenience store, and they're sort of on the go, it wouldn't really make sense to sell that through an e-commerce platform. But what JackLinks does is it enables people to bulk purchase these things through e-commerce. So if you wanted to buy like a 10 pack of each of those individual things, you can buy it online. Or a lot of the things like beef sticks, where you wouldn't mind having 15 or 20 or what have you, you can buy them through JackLinks.com. They are in the process of updating their e-commerce actually, but we do see a lot of people going there to purchase from the website. Yes, it is. So, okay, now I know what you're talking about. So because we manage the media, we see basically all of the KPIs for the traffic, and we are able to attribute everything. It is really important to them to be able to show return on ad spend, so they do want to see those type of stats. What we talk about them a lot with for social in particular is that because we're doing a lot of smart things like dynamic retargeting with product ads and things like that, that's where we're seeing the strongest ROI. So when you think of, you know, the typical customer funnel, we want to make sure that we're balancing, like feeding the top of the funnel, feeding that awareness so we get them into our system, you know, using things like pixels to be able to retarget them. Right. We would basically be leveraging the social to drive traffic to do the retargeting. Mm-hmm. But for some of the other brands that we work on, it is much more sort of point of sale conversion. For some of the retailers that we work with and things like that, since most people aren't going to buy jerky online, even in bulk, it really is keeping it top of mind to people to drive that in-store traffic, but we absolutely need to be able to attribute everything, so yeah. Yes, JackLinks and Carmichael, I would say, we are pros at doing things unreasonably fast, and so what happened with that in particular was someone had brought up the idea early on, sort of saying, hey, X Games is coming here, what would we want to do? But we really didn't start to execute on it seriously until 6 weeks before it happened. So we were working very quickly with a lot of our producers to determine if we want to do swag, how quickly can we get it there? How quickly can we buy the media for those different stations? Concepting the ideas, selling it into the client, knowing that we wanted to have a different brand angle, and ensuring that even though it was a deviation, that it made sense and it was still sort of tying back to the brand. So unreasonably fast, 6 weeks, I think like 8 weeks from sort of start to finish. But that's one of those instances where it was sort of an unplanned, planned thing that we wanted to get in front of. So I think it just depends on if you have any long lead production times or some of the media that you do have to buy far in advance, that's what really limits those type of things. But with social, you have a little more flexibility. Yeah, so, you know, when you think of the sort of the spectrum of marketing being like very RTB focused, very sort of functional, factual, et cetera, to like equity, you know, Coca-Cola, et cetera, things like that, I would say we're constantly shifting in the middle. What happened at the time was, people were thinking they were thinking jerky was somehow bad for you, and really like that initial video comparing it to potato chips when that's not really a fair comparison. We knew for people who are very focused on things like sodium or hated jerky, they weren't going to eat it. So it was more about doing that hybrid of, hey, this is a protein-packed snack that also has this emotional appeal of thriving and things like that. So I would say 2 years ago, we were very focused on RTBs of, hey, our jerky has 18 grams of protein versus a handful of almonds only has 8. And we were doing sort of those direct comparisons, but the health angle was really protein because we didn't want to overpromise, right? We didn't want to say that we were, I don't know, an avocado or quinoa or something. We wanted to make sure we were being honest about who we were, but we could absolutely stand for a high protein, low fat, low calorie snack. Right, right, which is more really who we're going for, right? People who are healthy, but they're not necessarily like organic, non-GMO, et cetera, because we couldn't, yeah, we can't really play there. But yeah, we definitely do the dance of RTB versus equity and